I was in Tucson, Arizona, at the Border Ministries Summit on Wednesday when we got word of the acquittal. It was his second trial. The first had ended in a mistrial, but the prosecution pushed hard and changed the parameters. This was to be a landmark case for them. In our name, and not for the first time, our government was trying to make it a crime to give food and water to people. But in this second trial, Scott Warren, a volunteer for the humanitarian organization No More Deaths, was acquitted. And the courtroom erupted in emotions, the report said. His attorneys had argued that he was motivated solely by his humanitarian principles to prevent suffering and death in the Arizona desert. His lawyer said, Scott Warren did what all of us should aspire to do. He risked his freedom, he risked his livelihood, he risked his future, all in order to help strangers in distress. Warren himself said the government failed in its attempt to criminalize basic human kindness. I got back last night after spending 3 days with people who are giving their all to help strangers in distress on our southern border. Church people doing what they do in the name of Jesus. Because where else is our allegiance to be as Christians? A speaker at the border summit said, at the most fundamental level, Scott Warren is all of us. Us, every person who is following Jesus and trying to care for those in need at every kind of barrier and border, while the forces of empire are trying their damnedest to make it a crime, and worse, to make it fail as a deterrent. So I ask you, as I ask myself, who is our king? Jesus or Caesar? And what are we willing to put on the line for that allegiance? Because Caesar's empire sent our king to the cross as a deterrent. And yet today, with this troubling gospel for a such named feast, we celebrate Christ the King. And we've got choices to make. Is Christ our King or not? Because I just watched somebody's handheld video of law enforcement pouring out and kicking over jugs of water in the desert and jeering at the people who brought them there. Now, of course, that's not the majority of the law enforcement. But I'm telling you, I can still see that man's face and his glee as he taunted and poured. And I can still see the force of hate in the booted foot that kicked the jug into the air and watched it splat into the sand and run out where it couldn't give life to anybody. Unleashed by and in the name of empire. Where is our king? Kicking over the water or walking with desperate, thirsty, dying people? We all know the answer to that. Do you think this is being political? Well, our Feast of Christ the King is a relatively modern invention, 1925, directly responding to the rise of the dictatorships of Europe and the growing secularism and nationalism in the world. To say that our king stands for a different kind of power. Pope Pius XI, in his encyclical, Where Christ the King Was Instituted, wrote, the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives, that these had no place either in private affairs or in politics. He wanted to affirm how Christ is and is to be our one king, reigning in our hearts, minds, wills, and bodies. That is particularly and sadly prescient for our times as well. That nearly a century ago, a pope called out the perversion of the world that was and is increasingly telling Christians that we must compartmentalize our religion and give our highest allegiance to the government. And so, in our gospel on the feast of Christ the King, our King hangs on a cross beside every suffering human. And he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Hear how today's gospel hinges on this one sentence spoken to a criminal at Jesus' side. The King of Life hangs on the cross, defeated in earthly eyes, but with extraordinary grace and extraordinary forgiveness, he speaks directly to one suffering person, a criminal no less, the only person he addresses directly from the cross in this gospel. And Jesus has the compassion and the kingly authority to say, "Today you will be with me in paradise." "Today you will be with me." Could there be more blessed words? The reign of Christ is not a death-dealing system intent on punishment and exclusion, but a paradise of inclusion and forgiveness, even to a convicted criminal, someone we might not think deserved it. And more, Jesus is not just blessing this one man. Don't zero in on the type figure of the good thief. Doing that, we gloss over what Jesus has already said earlier in this gospel. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." Jesus asks for forgiveness for all of them, the taunters, the soldiers, the weeping, the cowards, the bad thief, all of them, all of us, you and me. That is our King, whose power is forgiveness, love, and inclusion, who suffers for us and with us, and in doing so, saves us. Social justice author and advocate Father Walter Burghardt wrote, "Luke's story that we call the Good Thief summarizes with startling vividness what the Son of God took our flesh to effect. It tells us what Calvary did for all of us by narrating what Calvary did for one of us. We have a mighty, mighty God who faced loss and humiliation and betrayal and torture and ignominious death to show us that what truly is important is different now. In his inbreaking kingdom, power is different. It is not being the mighty emperor, nor the highest priest, nor the one with the place of honor at the table, nor the one with ritual cleanliness under myriad laws with strict borders. It is being beside one another, the way Jesus came beside us. When he turns to the desperate man at his side, Jesus doesn't say, "What was your crime?" He doesn't say, "Are you sufficiently sorry?" He doesn't say, "Why should I help you?" In the face of his own suffering and death, he proclaims his full stature as the King of Life, and he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Caesar can't say that. Jesus does not take himself off the cross to save himself. He stayed there in love to forgive us and save us and be with us in this suffering world as it takes two steps forward and three steps back into his new kingdom, a kingdom that isn't a bordered empire, but is a paradise for all of us. In the midst of all the chaos and suffering that is going on in the world, Jesus is with you and with me. How else could we still be standing? And if we're standing, then we need not be deterred to stand beside each other, especially the neediest who are suffering among us, and to live into our claim and our duty as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where all are welcome.